بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيقول المصنف رحمه الله تعالى شيخ الإسلام المجدد محمد ابن عبد الوهاب رحمة الله عليه في كتابه التوحيد الذي هو حق الله على العبيد باب ما جاء في حماية المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم جناب التوحيد وسده كل طريق يوصل إلى الشرك. The author, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the chapter, Ma ja'a fi himayati al-Mustafa janab al-Tawheed, that which has come with regards to the clarification of the safeguarding, protection, and the defending of Mustafa, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam janab al-Tawheed, the rights of the Tawheed and preserving the Tawheed and protecting the Tawheed. وَسَدِّهِ كُلَّ طَرِيقٍ يُوصِلُ إِلَى الشِّرْكِ, and the fact that he had blocked and closed every path and every way that leads to a shirk and associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. باب ما جاء في حماية المصطفى. المصطفى, this is from the names of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, وهو بمعنى المختار. المصطفى أي المختار, المختار, the chosen one. And Allah سبحانه وتعالى, He chooses and selects whom He wills from His creation, from the angels and likewise from mankind. And He has chosen the best of mankind to be prophets and messengers. And He has chosen the best after them to be their companions and followers. And these are the righteous and the pious, the loftiest and highest ranks of al-istifa is al-risala, al-nubuwa. After that is siddiqiyya. After that, الشهادة ثم بعد ذلك الصلاح. الصلاح, prophethood and messengership is the highest rank of purification and piety, and of being selected and chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be near to Him and to be upright and to be good. And after that, those who have reached the level of الصديقية. And after that, those who have been martyrs. And after that, the ranks and levels of the righteous. وَلِكُلِّن دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا. And from the righteous, all of them, they have ranks according to their deeds. We see that from the names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Mustafa. Al-Mustafa, he is the one who has been chosen to be the seal of the prophets. And he is the one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has been chosen to be the final messenger. And he has been chosen to receive the final revelation and to be a prophet and messenger for all of mankind after him. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. Ma ja'a fi himayati al-Mustafa janab al-Tawheed. That which has come with regards to the preservation and the safeguarding and the fact that al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he defended the Tawheed and he protected it from every aspect. He protected every aspect of at-tawheed, and he closed off all ways that lead to a shirk and all paths that lead to bringing deficiency to that tawheed or corrupting that tawheed. The author, he says, مَا جَاءَ فِي حِمَايَةِ الْمُصْطَفَى جَنَابَ التَّوْحِيدِ. Al-janab, the ulama, they mention, it means al-janib. Janabu shay, yani janibahu. Janab al-shay, yani janibahu. And the side of something, But what is intended here, jihatu at-tawheed, yani from the aspects of at-tawheed. And what the ulama, they mentioned, al-muradu himayatuhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amma yaqrubu ilayhi aw yukhalifuhu min ash-shirki aw yukhalituhu min ash-shirki wa asbabihi. Yani the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he defended the tawheed and he protected it and safeguarded it from everything that would come near it. Yani from everything that opposes it and is contrary to it, and everything that could bring deficiency to it, whether to remove the tawheed entirely or even to bring deficiency to it, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has put a hima, or a sacred boundary, like this. And this is from the word himaya. A hima is a sacred boundary. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has guarded the tawheed, and he has set a boundary around the tawheed that no one should come near to it, and no one should come near to that boundary nor transgress it, in order to keep the tawheed safe and preserved and pure. And this is because it is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the greatest obligation. Rather, all obligations will not be correct, nor will they be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except first if this obligation of a tawheed is established. And likewise, this is what all of the messengers they were sent with, the establishment of a tawheed and making the ibadah sincerity and purity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And all of them likewise, they came warning from a shirk and from all of the means that lead to shirk. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is the seal of messengers and a line of messengers, and they all had the same call. يَدْعُوا أَقْوَامَهُمْ إِلَى التَّوْحِيدِ وَيُحَذِّرُهُمْ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ. They all called their people to at-tawheed, and they all warned their people from a shirk. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونِ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has closed all paths that lead to shirk, and he has protected and defended the tawheed precisely and diligently sallallahu alayhi wasallam his entire life. And in the chapters that have preceded, we have seen many examples of that. We have seen many examples of how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he preserved the tawheed and he protected the tawheed, and he was diligent and concerned about the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any time somebody would mention something or do something that could bring deficiency to the tawheed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he refuted that and he clarified that and he warned from that sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we have seen many examples previously how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he warned the people from shirk and everything that will bring deficiency to tawheed, and from that going to extremes in the deen. And this is what we have been discussing in our previous classes, al-ghulu fid deen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he warned from that, iyyakum wal-ghulu fid deen. And he mentioned that the previous nations were destroyed from that. And this is from the means that lead to shirk, and from the means that lead to bringing deficiency or removing the tawheed entirely. From the means that lead to that, al-ghulu fi al-deen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned from that. And we have seen the evidences that in our previous classes. Walillah alhamd. Likewise, from the issues that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has warned from, that we have discussed, al-itra'. And this is al-ghulu fil madh, going to extremes in praising. And he did not allow the people to praise him and to go to extremes in praising him. And he warned from that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because this is a means that leads to shirk. And this is a means that leads to shirk. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was harsh and stern his entire life upon the Jews and the Christians for the fact that they took the graves of their prophets as places of worship. And he warned from that, and he warned from that harshly, and he cursed them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La'ana Allahu al-Yahuda wa al-Nasara. He mentioned, and we have seen those classes likewise, and those evidences, because of the fact that this is a means that leads to shirk. Building on masajid and places of worship on top of the graves, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade that, and he cursed those who do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is a means that leads to shirk. So not only did he protect the Tawheed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and defend the Tawheed, but likewise he closed off all pathways that lead to shirk and lead to deficiency in the Tawheed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the author, he says, وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. And an ayah. And in the ayah continues, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. We see that the author, he mentioned the verse that is in Surah At-Tawbah. Verily, there has come to you a messenger from amongst yourselves. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ from amongst yourselves. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ. It grieves him much that you should receive any injury or difficulty. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ. It's hard on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and difficult for him that his ummah will go through hardship or difficulty or that they will be hard. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ أَيْ شَاقٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا يَشُوقُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ أَيْ شَاقٌ عَلَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا يَشُوقُ عَلَى أُمَّتِهِ. It's hard for him and difficult for him, and he did not like to see his ummah and the believers going through hardship or difficulty, or be especially in the affairs of the deen and being tried in the deen or even in the dunya. It was difficult for him, صلى الله عليه وسلم. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. And he is diligent upon your guidance. He was diligent with regards to you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Harisun alaykum. Yani harisun yahrisu. An Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala hidayat al-nas. Wa ala isali al-khayri lahum. That he was diligent and he worked very hard and seriously, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to bring goodness to the people and to guide the people and to direct the people to all good. Harisun alaykum. Bil mu'minina ra'ufun rahim. And he was kind and he was nice and merciful to the believers. He was kind and he was nice and he was merciful to the believers. So we see here that the author, he mentioned this verse clarifying some of the attributes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first of those attributes, min anfusikum, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to a people who know him. He was sent to all mankind, but to his people specifically in that time and to all mankind in general. But at that time, whenever he was sent to Quraysh, to the Arab and his lands, and to all mankind likewise, but specifically to them. And they know him. And they know him. And they know his lineage. And they know his honesty and his truthfulness. And they know that he's trustworthy. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they know his family. And they know him his whole life. And they know him his whole life. And they know his affairs. And they know the issues that went with him. And they know his status and his rank. And they know his lineage and his lofty status likewise with regards to his lineage and the society. And they know his forefathers. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's well known to them. Even to the extent that they considered him to be al-Amin, the one who was most trustworthy. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he received prophethood and messengership. So he was sent to them and they know him. They know his characteristics. They know his traits. They know that he does not lie. They know that he tells the truth. They know that he never deceives anybody and that he never betrays the trust. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they know this about him. They know this about him. Also from his attributes that are mentioned in this noble verse, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ. That is hard for him. It's hard for him from his mercy and his kindness and his love for goodness for the people that is difficult for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to see his ummah go through hardship, to see his ummah go through difficulty, that he found it hard in his heart to find any hardship upon the people. And like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, بُعِثْتُ بِالْحَنِيفِيَةِ السَّمْحَةِ, that I was sent with الْحَنِيفِيَةِ السَّمْحَةِ, that I was sent, yani meaning by Allah, Allah sent me. This is what he's saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بِالْحَنِيفِيَةِ الْحَنِيفِيَةِ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ التَّوْحِيدِ الْخَالِصِ, with pure and sincere tawheed and monotheism and worshipping Allah alone, السَّمْحَةِ, أي الشَّرِيعَ السَّمْحَةِ, the sharia that is easy. That is easy, it's not hard. He doesn't put hardship on you. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah, he mentioned, we have not placed any hardship upon you in your deen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ يُسْرٌ. إِنَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ يُسْرٌ. That verily, this religion is easy. it's easy for you to follow. And the legislation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is easy for the believers to follow, for those who Allah makes it easy for them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala min fadlihi to make it easy for us to follow His legislation, and to make it easy for us to believe and to do that which is pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow this messenger, to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Azizun alayhi ma'anitum, and he found it hard. It's not easy for him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to see the ummah in difficulty, to see the ummah in hardship, to see the ummah in misguidance. And he would strive to direct them, and he would strive to call them, and he would strive to aid them and help them. Harisun alayhim. He was very diligent. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam is another attribute. Harisun alayhim. Yani harisun ala isalil khayri lahum. That he was very diligent, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he gave much effort to bring good to the people. To bring good to the people, to call them to Tawheed in the best manner, to teach them the good way in the best manner, to teach them the Sunnah and with kindness and mercy, and to pardon those who harmed him. And these people, he was sent to specifically from Quraysh. They know him like this. They know him like this. And likewise, bil mu'minin ra'ufun rahim. And he's very kind and merciful to the believers. So these are some of the traits that necessitate that. No doubt, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he called the people to that which is correct, and he clarified the tawheed, and he clarified everything that would lead to the pleasure of Allah, and he warned from everything that would be a means to cause the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he does not like to see his ummah in hardship, and because he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was diligent upon bringing the good to them. And because he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's merciful and he's kind specifically to the believers. Therefore, he would not leave them in misguidance or in heedlessness. And he would not leave them to not know the way. Rather, he took the most effort. And he spent his life, literally, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to clarify these affairs. Even to the extent, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he says, تركنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما طائر يقلب جناحيه في الهوى إلا وهو يذكرنا منه علما. That the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he left us, meaning whenever he died, he left us, and there is not a bird in the sky flapping its wings. There is not a bird in the air flapping its wings, except that he has left us with some knowledge with regards to that. Except he has given us knowledge with regards to that. He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah, he says, ما بقي شيء يقرب من الجنة ويباعد من النار إلا قد بوين لكم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, there's nothing left that will draw you near to Jannah, nor take you away from the hellfire, except it's been clarified to you. Except it's been clarified to you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ballagha al-balagh al-mubin. He clarified the legislation, the clearest of clarifications, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akmal Allahu bihi ad-din, and Allah completed the deen with him. Wa ad-din huwa at-tawhid, and at-tawhid, and it's all clarified and it's been complete, and there's nothing upon a believer except to learn that deen and to follow and to learn about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to follow. So we see that these are his traits, that the people he was sent to specifically, they know him, and they know his truthfulness and his honesty, and that he's trustworthy. And likewise, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he cannot bear to see the people in hardship, and it's difficult for him to see the people in hardship. And likewise, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's diligent to bring good to the people, and to help the people, and to aid the people, and to direct the people. And he hopes that the people will be guided, and he wants good for the people, even those who harmed him, even those who opposed him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he wanted good for them, and he was diligent to bring the good to them, and he is merciful and kind to the believers. And on top of all of this, they kicked him out of his house. They kicked him out of his land. They know him, and they know his kindness. They know his status and his rank, and they know his lineage and his honesty. But what did they do? They kicked him out of his land. They tried to kill him, and they harmed him. And then in the end, whenever Allah gave him victory, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how did he respond to them? How did he respond to them? With these same traits, he pardoned them. He pardoned them whenever he came back and conquered Mecca, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those people who know him, who he was raised from amongst them, and who he lived with them his entire life, who kicked him out of his home and exiled him and attempted to kill him and belied him and disbelieved in him and mocked him and spoke ill of him and fought him and killed his companions and his family and his friends, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he came back victorious, he pardoned them. He forgave them. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He's the messenger of Allah. He's the messenger of Allah. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. The point is that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he clarified the tawheed and he closed all avenues that corrupted. He closed all avenues sallallahu alayhi wasallam that corrupted, and he was diligent with regards to that. And he was diligent sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to that. The author, he mentioned the next narration, he says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا ولا تجعلوا قبري عيدا وصلوا علي فإن صلاتكم تبلغني حيث كنتم رواه أبو داود بإسناد حسن ورواته ثقات. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا, do not turn your homes into graves, ولا تجعلوا قبري عيدا, and do not take my grave as an عيد, وصلوا علي فإن صلاتكم تبلغني حيث كنتم, and send salutations and salat and salam upon me, for verily your salat upon me, it reaches me wherever you may be. It reaches me wherever you may be. The author, he says that this is narrated, rawahu Abu Dawood bi isnad al-hasan, that Abu Dawood rahimahullah ta'ala, he has narrated this narration with a chain that is hasan, that is good and acceptable. Warawatuhu thiqat, and the narrators of this chain are thiqat and reliable narrators. They are thiqat and reliable narrators. So we see that this particular narration, it consists of three affairs. The first of them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لَا تَجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قُبُورًا, do not turn your homes into graves. Do not turn your homes into graves. Likewise, this narration has been narrated from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and it is collected by Imam Muslim, or a similar wording. And with regards to this issue here, لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا, do not turn your houses into graves. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in this narration in Sahih Muslim, لا تجعلوا بيوتكم مقابر, do not turn your houses into graveyards. إن الشيطان ينفر من البيت الذي تقرأ فيه سورة البقرة. For verily, Shaitan, he flees from the house that Surah Al-Baqarah is recited in it. Verily, Shaitan, he flees from the home that Surah Al-Baqarah is recited in it. لا تجعلوا بيوتكم مقابر, do not turn your houses into graveyards. Verily, Shaitan, he flees from the home that is Surah Al-Baqarah is recited in it. That Surah Al-Baqarah is recited in it. So we see here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade the believers from turning their homes into graveyards, and likewise from taking their homes as graves. And what is clear and apparent from this, that it's not permissible to bury a person inside of the house. This is the first understanding from this narration. It's not permissible, it's impermissible. It is haram to bury an individual inside of the home, to bury an individual inside of the home. And this is because this will corrupt the house, and it's not allowed to pray in the graveyards. And this is the point here. But if somebody were to bury somebody inside the house, now they cannot pray in their house. So their house will be, they would not be able to pray in their home. And likewise, this is a means that leads to shirk. It is likewise a means that leads to shirk. And the people we'll see, why was this person buried in the house? Oh, he must be righteous, or he must have some special status. Why was he not buried in the graveyard with the rest of the people? Oh, he must be one of those people that his supplication is accepted, and they start to make a tawassul bihi and a shafa'ah, seeking a shafa'ah with this individual. And in any case, by burying the individual in the house, this could be a means that leads to shirk. The people could have some misunderstanding and be tried, and shaitan could cast whispers and the likes into their hearts until they're deceived with regards to this grave, and they think that it has a special quality, and they call on it besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is apparent in the lands in these days. And this is known, that many of the believers have been tried, many of those who ascribe to Islam have been tried with calling on the graves and being attached to the graves and the people in the graves. And this is something that is haram and major shirk, and this is why this is impermissible, because it leads to that. Likewise, burying an individual in the house, this is a means to prohibit him from the good of the believers. Because the believers, whenever they visit the graveyards, they make dua for the people in the grave in general, and the people in the graveyards. Whenever a believer, he goes to the graveyard, he will supplicate for all of those believers in the grave, as is the sunnah from the Prophet ﷺ. So every time a believer, he comes to visit the graveyard for a reminder, and the likes like this, to take heed, and to take admonition, and the likes like this, they will supplicate for the people in the graveyard. As for this person who's buried in his home, he's prohibited from this supplication, from the supplication of the believers. In any case, it is not permissible to take the house as a graveyard, meaning to bury an individual inside of the home. And likewise, that which has proceeded from the impermissibility of building on top of the graves. If someone were to bury someone in the house, then he would have a building over him, or over his grave. So therefore, likewise, this is impermissible. And likewise, for the same reason, because of what it leads to, and what because of the outcome of this being a means that will draw and lead individuals to shirk. Likewise, from the meaning of this narration, وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قُبُورًا وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قُبُورًا, and one wording likewise from Ibn Umar, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قُبُورًا, and do not turn your houses into graves. نعم, وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ مَقَابِرٍ, like in this narration in Sahih Muslim by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, do not turn your houses into graveyards. Because, or the meaning of the other meaning that this has is that do not turn your house into graveyards, meaning by not praying in them. And there are other narrations likewise that clarify this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, صَلُّوا فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ صَلُّوا فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ صَلُّوا فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ إِنَّ أَفْضَلَ الصَّلَاةِ الْمَرْءِ فِي بَيْتِهِ إِلَّا الصَّلَاةِ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ, that you should pray in your homes. And verily, the best prayer of an individual is in his home, except for the obligatory prayer. This hadith is muttafaqun alayhi from the hadith of Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. So it's encouraged to pray in the homes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he likened the home that does not have prayer, the one who does not pray in his home, and either non-obligatory prayer, is similar to the graveyard. And this is the point here. Do not take your homes as graveyards, or do not turn your homes into graves, meaning by not remembering Allah there, and by not praying in your homes. The one who does not remember Allah in his house is like a grave. It's dead. It's not alive. And likewise, the one who does not establish the non-obligatory prayers in his house, then his house is like it's like a graveyard, because in the graves it's not allowed to pray. In the graveyards, it's not allowed to pray. It's impermissible. And this is something that is known to the companions, and this is something that is understood and established in the minds of the companions, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had prohibited that, and he had clarified that to them. And likewise, it has come, the Ibn Umar, he said radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, اِجْعَلُوا فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ مِنْ صَلَاتِكُمْ, اِجْعَلُوا فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ مِنْ صَلَاتِكُمْ, make some of your prayer in your house, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوهَا قُبُورًا, and do not turn your homes into graves. And meaning that the one who does not pray in his house resembles a grave. Because the grave, it's not permissible to pray there. Rather, it's impermissible to pray at the graves and in the graveyards. So the one who does not pray in his house is as if his house is like a graveyard. It's dead. is dead, and he has taken it to be like a graveyard, a place where it's not permissible to pray. And rather, the house should not be like that. Rather, the house should be full of light, and the house should be alive with remembrance of Allah, and the house should be alive with the ibadah and the worship of Allah, and from that establishing the non-obligatory prayer in the home. Likewise, from the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا قَضَى أَحَدُكُمْ الصَّلَاةَ فِي مَسْجِدِهِ فَلِيَجْعَلْ لِي بَيْتِهِ نَصِيبًا مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعِلٌ فِي بَيْتِهِ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ خَيْرًا. That if one of you finishes his prayer in his masjid, then let him save a portion of his prayer for his house. For verily Allah will put good in his house by way of his salat. So we see here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is saying that لَا تَجْعَلُوا بُيُوتُكُمْ قُبُورًا. Do not turn your houses into graves. Meaning, remember Allah in your house. Rather, bring your house to life. And do not make your house similar to graves by being dead. Or the remembrance of Allah is not there. Or the non-obligatory prayer is not established in the house. So therefore, establish the non-obligatory prayer in the home as much as you can. So that your house will not resemble a grave. Likewise, the Prophet in this narration, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا قَبْرِي عِيدًا. وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا قَبْرِي عِيدًا. And do not turn my grave into an Eid. And do not turn my grave or take my grave as an Eid. Al-Eid is from عَادَ يَعُودُ. عُودَ عَوْدًا. وَالْعِيد يعني something that is reoccurring. يعني يعود. اجتماعٌ يعود. It is a congregation or a gathering that occurs and it returns, whether it's weekly or monthly or yearly. It will be in the same time or likewise or in the same place. This is considered taking that thing as an Eid, a festival. Sometimes it's in the same time, sometimes it's in the same place, and it occurs. And this gathering and this event, it returns time after time, time after time. And the only Eid that is allowed for the believers, Eidani, Eid al-Fitri, وَعِيدُ الْأَضْحَى. These are the only Eids that are allowed. And likewise, also Jumu'ah is considered an Eid, but it's lesser, of course, than the Eid of Al-Fitr and Eid Al-Adha. In the year, there's two Eids, the Eids that have been allowed, the Muslims have been allowed to celebrate. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, do not take my grave as an Eid, meaning as a place that you go to and you return to all the time. And you take it and you go there and you visit this my grave all the time consecutively, or you know, many times in a month or a week, or many times in the year, and the likes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade that from visiting his grave abundantly and from going to his grave constantly. This is something that he had forbade sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, the meaning of this narration, وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا قَبْرِي عِيدًا, and also do not make a special day to visit my grave. Do not make a special day, any that reoccurs likewise. Do not visit it a lot, any constantly or consecutively, many times in a month or many times in a year and the likes like this, but rather the Salaf, they used to visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever they're coming from outside of Medina. Those who do not live in Medina, those who are visiting the Prophet's masjid, it's legislated there for them to visit the grave. They come to visit the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the travelers and from the people who live outside of Medina, and the people who live in the other lands who come for Hajj, for example. And then they come to visit the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If they come to visit the masjid, it's legislated for them to visit the grave likewise and to send salutation on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abi Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, and likewise to visit Baqi al-Gharqad and the likes like this. But one will not travel to the masjid for the purpose of the grave. He will not travel to the grave. Rather, he'll travel to the masjid to pray in the prayer in the Prophet's masjid and to get the reward of praying in the masjid and the likes like this. And then along with that, he will visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the righteous in that area to take a lesson in admonition. So therefore, visiting the grave is following, and it's not the intent. The intent is to come to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to pray there and to get the reward of praying there in his masjid sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore, one should not go there often. And even has been mentioned, Ibn Umar, he would visit the grave whenever he returned from traveling. whenever he returned from traveling. As for constantly visiting, they would not do that. Especially those who live in Medina, they would not go there daily. They would not go there monthly. The Salaf, they would not go to the grave. They would not pray and then go give salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at his grave. Those who lived in Medina, they would not do this. That which was practiced by the Salaf is that those who would come from far, they would visit the grave whenever they visit the masjid. And likewise, what has been narrated from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that if he himself had traveled outside of Medina, whenever he returned, on his return from traveling, he would visit the grave and give salam. But other than that, they would not constantly go there. And they were aware of this prohibition. And they were aware of this prohibition, taking the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Eid, as a place of that occurs often or reoccurs. And is consecutive and continuous. And likewise, they would not set a special day or a special time. Likewise, this is from the meaning of that prohibition. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, وَصَلُّوا عَلَيَّ فَإِنَّ صَلَاتِكُمْ تَبْلُغُونِي حَيْثُ كُنْتُمْ. And send salutations upon me, for verily your salutations, they reach me wherever you may be. It is narrated by Abu Dawood with isnad that is Hassan and Wajuhu Thaqat. There is another narration, inshallah, we continue in the class to come. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.